Back at it here on The Fan, it's Jonathan Peterwin, and now we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, although he's in studio, so it's even better, and this is how I know you listened to my previous take, which is also great. He is our Indians beat reporter, James Rapine. James, thanks for waking up early with
me. Of course, absolutely, just for you.
So, I like that you at least heard my MAC championship story sitting next to a diehard Indians fan where he fist bumped like you wouldn't believe with the Carlos Gonzalez news, and I understand it. I get on the surface because you think to yourself, well, that's a good name, you know, and you have the Rockies out here championing for him and saying it's a crime that he doesn't have a contract already. And then you just think to yourself, all right, what do I know about Carlos Gonzalez in recent years? And then you think of some of the plays that he had in the outfield last year. Defensively, he's not nearly the gold glover that he once was. Offensively, he's taken a massive step back as well. But
God, you're just negative today.
But he still is.
Wow.
Better than the majority of the outfield that they currently have, so it's an upgrade, right?
Yeah, I think what you heard yesterday at the queue from that diehard Indians fan was based on expectations. No one expected them to go out and make any kind of move. And even though this is a minor league move, even though this is maybe 60% of the Carlos Gonzalez that we remember, it's still Carlos Gonzalez, and he still has a legitimate shot, I think, to contribute in April on the big league roster. So it's exciting. It's an exciting name. He's not the guy you remember, even though he was an all-star just a couple years ago. He was an all-star in 2016, but certainly a contender now for a designated hitter spot / outfield spot, two things that are still up in the air for the Indians.
So you love the signing, though.
I do, because they don't have to commit to him at all. And here's the reality. Opening day is in 11 days, all right? Well, the Indians start play in 11 days, and obviously April 1st is opening day down at Progressive Field. But to me, I don't think he's going to be up then. I think it's going to take him 2 to 3 weeks to kind of prove himself, especially in the minors. But if he doesn't prove himself, you can move on. There's no commitment. There's no payment. Or he does prove himself, and he does help your outfield, and he does help in the DH spot. So, and he comes up here with the big league club. So there's no strings attached. It's a win-win for both sides. He gets a chance to prove himself after an offseason that's got to be frustrating for him because he still thinks he could play. And the Indians take a flyer on a guy who was once upon a time a really, really good player.
A spring training report brought to you by Kubota, Golf Tech, and WOW Internet. I love that. I love the idea behind all that. How much did this come into play? You predicted it a couple weeks ago was going to happen. Is this just because Matt Joyce couldn't cut it during spring training and was hitting a .125 well below the Mendoza line? Or was this always going to happen?
I think it was always going to happen. It might have something to do with Matt Joyce, obviously. They got the verdict in on the 34-year-old. So partially that. I think this had more to do about Carlos Gonzalez. This has more to do with veterans realizing their worth and that they have none. And I think he came to terms with that and said, okay, let me take this minor league deal where I could prove myself, where I can make up to $3 million if everything goes well. Because otherwise I'm stuck, right? Otherwise I'm just stuck at home in my sweatpants going to the Brecksville batting cages. So this way, you know, he gets to, you know, lace him up, prove himself, and hopefully make some money.
What does this mean for Tyler Naquin? Because my first thought and first blush reaction was maybe the Indians don't think he's as good as maybe they thought he was for the previous 3 years.
I don't think it's that big of a... I don't think it impacts him. I don't think it impacts Zimmer much. Obviously, he's dealing with health. I don't. It can if Gonzalez still has something left. I think that's the key here. I think the Indians, it does say something about their current roster, but it's almost a, let's just take a flyer on this guy just to see. It might mean he slides into the DH spot and outplays Hanley Ramirez long term. I mean, I could see that too. He doesn't have to be an outfielder.
They seem to really like Hanley, and they seem to really want to give him time too.
And he's starting to come on a little bit. Spring training numbers are always weird, but he's starting to play a little bit better. I think he makes it.
Can I be honest with you? And that's all I will ever try to be with you. The move with Carlos Gonzalez and the move with Hanley Ramirez just has me thinking to themselves, this is Antonetti's way of giving you guys you've heard of and almost appeasing you while understanding you're only paying a minimal amount of money.
Yeah, most fans are too smart for that, though. Who's right? Let's say Gonzalez.
I was just at a game yesterday with a guy that gave me a Tiger Woods fist bump for the move.
That's fine. Is he buying a cargo jersey?
He might.
Come on.
His last name is Napoli, so I think he's already got enough jerseys taken care of for the rest of his life.
Now, if Gonzalez brings it and hits .285 in 25 home runs this year, then yeah. But I get what you're saying. Add some guys that fans know. Most fans are smart enough to realize.
I give most fans the benefit of the doubt and the credit, and I know they do their research and their homework, but you can get fooled by a shiny toy.
His WAR was like 0.04 last year.
But especially if they start off fine. Well, his defense killed him. His defense absolutely destroyed him in that metric.
DH?
Yeah, because he's gonna hit about 16 to 20 home runs.
Yeah.
And he's going to slug about maybe 450. He's going to be okay. I do think he belonged on a major league roster, and I do think the outfield got better with that addition yesterday. I'm just trying to map it out for myself in July. When you have a healthy Zimmer, you have Naquin, you have everyone in play, Greg Allen also in play maybe, and then I don't know, what is Jake Bauer going to be in left field? I still don't know what that's going to be.
First.
I would highly doubt that. They're trying to make that transition.
I know they are, and it would benefit them.
And you're
them.
A much better team if he can play left field.
No doubt, and I think he might be their best left field as of now. I really do. I think he has that, not as of now, actually, but he has that potential. Like, he's athletic enough to play left
give
field.
Give me your outfield in July as you see it right now today, then.
Best case scenario?
Best case scenario. Everything breaks exactly as you think it will. Like, using just the projections that we have.
Oh, Bauer's left, Allen, and I would assume Leonis Martin.
So you don't even have Cargo in the starting lineup then?
No, even with the signing.
Okay. Well, then there we go.
Yeah. In an ideal world, Jake Bauers proves that he could be this young power bat in the outfield. You got Martin, who's steady at the plate, not great, but brings it on defense.
Right.
And Greg Allen, a young, promising defender. And he shows enough at the plate to be in the starting lineup.
I love Greg Allen.
Me too.
Greg Allen, I think
out of the
young outfield class, if you will, where it was always, because Allen was always right behind Zimmer. Everyone had high expectations for Bradley Zimmer. Allen was always that next tier below. And then last year, he just, the kid can play.
I'm with you.
I love him. I do.
I'm with you. I think there's going to be growing pains with him or anyone else that's there. But yeah, and then Carlos Gonzalez and Hanley Ramirez can arm wrestle. For the DH spot.
They can arm wrestle.
What do you think?
I love that picture. I love the idea of them just arm wrestling. Because this clubhouse is so goofy, and they do like the Super Mario Kart races and everything like that. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Tito one day walked up and was like, hey, we're going to settle this with an arm wrestling competition. We're going to go over the top, and we're going to try to figure this out.
Well, if both of them are hitting 210 with 10 home runs in July, I mean, you got to settle it somehow.
All right, so how do you see the starting rotation then? Because Tito did something interesting this past week. Tito said he wasn't going to name his opening day starter, but it was between Kluber and Bauer. I think it is a disastrous move on his part to make Bauer the opening day starter. And I know it doesn't matter long-term, big picture. It matters to people like me who think there's sentiment in an opening day starter. It's really all it comes down to. But Kluber, at the heart of it, is still your ace. I know Bauer's been great over the previous year and a half. Listen, third in the Cy Young last year. The guy's been there. But I still make Corey Kluber the starter, and I still do it for a couple reasons. I do it for one, the idea that he has been that workhorse for you. He's been top five. He's won two Cy Youngs. Like, he's been the face of the starting pitching staff for a decade now, right? Like, he has been, well, not that long. It's been about 6-7 years. But he's been the guy. So there's something to that. And then number two, although Clevenger's very good with Bauer, I don't love the message it sends to everybody else if Bauer's named the opening day starter, because then it really kind of sets forth this, I'm in charge, I'm the lead dog, I'm the top dog. And I think Bauer feeds better off of not being named his number one starter on his own team when he thinks he's the best starter in all of baseball.
That's fair. I get it. The kind of motivating him, and he uses those weird things
he loves,
to motivate him.
And like, he lives off that.
He uses your tweets, Jonathan, too. Yours specifically.
No, not mine. I'm still not blocked by Trevor Bauer. I'm one of the few blessed.
I'm not blocked either yet. But yes, I'm yes. with you. Here's why.
Because you know it's coming. That's the best part
from
of that.
From a baseball standpoint, I like, and Tito talked about this a week or two ago, splitting the two up, splitting Carrasco and Kluber up, and doing so with Bauer in the middle, that way he could go 7-8 innings. Because I don't want, even if Kluber starts opening day, I don't want him going 8 innings.
Yeah, so you go Kluber, Carrasco, then Bauer. Yeah.
6 great innings, get out of here. We're worried about October. Like, now it's maintenance plan. Like, load management, as they say in the NBA. That's what
I can't believe
with,
you went to load management.
With Carrasco and Corey Kluber. I'm serious. Because you're going to lean on this rotation great. So much, and you have Bieber, you have Clevenger, you have some of these young guys. Obviously, Bauer, too, is ready to pitch anytime you want him to. Yeah, I would split him up. So I would go with Kluber, 6 innings. All right, go hit the shower, and then it would be Bauer day two.
Okay, but Kluber's got to be the opening day starter, right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I would
split him up.
It.
Because if you do that, now you're doing – if you start with Bauer, then it's Kluber – and Carrasco back-to-back days, which could wear on your board.
What I love about splitting them up, too, is that it's giving the head nod to Bauer and understanding that, yeah, you can go 7 or 8 innings and you can throw as many innings as you feel necessary because you've put your body in that position.
We're acknowledging you're our horse.
Yes, and you're also acknowledging that the psychotic nature of your line drive academy and everything that we thought for the previous 7-8 years has all just kind of been poof up in a year because of a year and a half of great baseball, which is, it's kind of wild if you think about it, where sometimes you just got to see the results in order to let that actually be reality for a lot of people. It's interesting. It's fascinating.
It is. But they have the best rotation in baseball. Say what you want about the Indians, but I love their rotation.
If Lindor can't go on opening day, and I think he will because he's making a lot of progressives and a lot of moves for that.
Agreed.
If he can't go, who do you see being
Ryan
that?
Ryan Flaherty to the Flaherty. Rescue. I think that would be who I would assume. I saw that going into spring training. It could be. And it could be a rotation between the two. Be interesting. If both make it. I mean, that would be the... start there. You know, do you start with Lindor on the DL? How does that work? Is it Lindor doesn't play the first game, but he's going to play the second game and he's almost ready? It really just depends on where he's at.
If we were in Vegas putting your money on it, do you have Lindor starting opening day?
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
And it's injuryless, not DL. Old habits die hard. But yes, I have Lindor starting. Dude, he had a home run the other day, and I know it was AAA. I don't care. That's good enough. Home run yesterday too. So it's two home runs in a couple days.
He was 3 for 3 yesterday.
Yeah, guys working. He's fine.
When you hear Tito talk about him too, and Tito's not that person that'll put anyone's designation out there. When you hear Tito talk about him, and he just talks about how like he's progressing about as well as you possibly could, and all that, I knew that timeline wasn't appropriate when they put it out there. They hedged their bet almost. They put out a longer timeline and a just in case, and now it seems like he's progressing better than that.
It's smart to put out a longer timeline.
Yeah.
Why put pressure on him to return quicker than he needs to? Instead. Oh yeah, it's going to be 13 weeks. You know, I know it was 7 to 9, but it's 7 to 9 weeks, and he's already moving and stuff. If the playoffs were tomorrow, you think he plays?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. Not a question.
So I think he'll be ready.
James, great stuff. We'll talk with you as the show progresses on, as well as you're doing updates. You appeared on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.